You want to open up to Numbers 22. We're going to spend most of our time there, at least the beginning of our time there this morning. Numbers 22, going back to the Old Testament here, so dust those pages off in Numbers. Hope we're all having a good week. I just wanted to thank John for doing the scripture reading. He was just baptized last week, and we're already putting him to work. And I changed the scripture reading, so that's why it was different on the screen. So he wasn't going rogue. He was doing what we told him to do, so don't worry. But thank you, John, for doing that. We just appreciate your hard work already, and everyone get to know John if you haven't met him already. I'm sure if I were to talk to you about talking animals this morning, it wouldn't seem that strange to you. Because we live in a world full of talking animals, don't we? I mean, you think of animals like this guy here. That's my dad, one of my dad's favorite. My dad, he gets the newspaper every day. The first thing he reads, the funny. And he loves Garfield. But talking animals, I mean, you think of all the talking animals we have. Mickey Mouse, Babe. Have you ever watched the movie Babe? One of my favorites growing up. Dr. Doolittle could talk to animals, right? And then here's my all-time favorite talking animal. This donkey from Shrek, right? You kids know about donkey, I know. You think about talking animals today, and it's not so strange because our entertainment is full of them. Movies and TV shows are full of them. Some people might talk to their own animals and think that they understand what you're talking about. But most of us have either had a pet or have a pet at some time. And if you really want to think of the reality of it, animals can't talk. If you have a dog, you might be able to teach it to speak, but really what you're teaching it to do is just bark, right? It's not really speaking words to you. Your dog will never be able to have a full conversation with you about your day. Parrots can talk maybe short words, but nothing substantial, or they can't really have, you know, full sentences. And we understand animals in their place compared to humans. But as we're going to see today, and as I think we already know about God, is God is capable of some extraordinary things. He's capable of making things that couldn't normally happen, happen. God is capable of speaking things into existence and creating life from dust. He's capable of making barren wombs open to childbirth. He's capable of making water stand up like two great big walls, and so the children of Israel can pass in the middle of them, and he is even capable of making a donkey talk. And that's what we're going to look at today. And we're going to start with a story in Numbers chapter 22. You know, a lot of people, when they think of the book of Numbers, it's sandwiched in the middle of probably what most people would consider the most boring part of the Bible. Right? You have the description of the law and everything that's being talked about to the children of Israel there, but there's a few good stories in there that if you don't read those books, you're going to miss. And we're going to talk about one of those today, and it's the story of two men, really, Balak and Balaam. And you kind of got the little gist of the story from our scripture reading today, but we're going to talk about a few of these things. And I want to go over the two characters very quickly because you can get them confused very easily. They both have similar names, Balak and Balaam. What I want us to understand is one of these men is for God, the other one is against God. And here we have Balak, who's kind of our first character here that we're going to discuss this morning. He is the king of the Moabites. Now, the children of Israel have kind of been going from place to place, and he has seen what Israel has done to the Amorites. In verse 2 there, we see that Israel has just kind of destroyed the Amorites, and Balak is kind of noticing this, and he's getting a little scared, and he knows in verse 6 he would say that, or I'm sorry, we'll get to that in a minute, but he was noticing that God's people, with God behind them, are capable of doing a lot of damage. And so he's getting a little scared now, and so what he wants is he needs a prophet to come and to curse Israel. He needs someone to come and to put a stop to what the children of Israel are doing because he sees the great power that they have behind God. And so he sends for Balaam, who is a prophet. And he could obviously speak with God. Balak would say in verse 6 of chapter 22, he would say, "Therefore, please come at once, curse these people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed. So Balak, the king, is saying, Balaam, I know that you can talk to God. And I know that when you speak to God, whoever you bless is blessed, and whoever you curse is cursed. So I need you, Balaam, to come and curse these children of Israel for me so that I can wipe them out and they won't take me over. And so, this is the story we're going to pick up with today. Balaam is asked by the king, and this is what John read to us just a few moments ago. Balaam was asked by the king Balak to come and curse the children of Israel. And so Balak sends messengers to come to Balaam in hopes that Balaam would come and speak curses on Israel. But first, Balaam does something. He says, I'm going to go to God, and I'm going to inquire what God wants me to do. Well, God told Balaam no, because obviously Israel is God's blessed people. And so he says, I'm not going to let you speak curses against my people. So Balaam said, you know what, tell your king, I can't come. God told me no, so you're on your own. Well, that's the end of the story, right? Well, of course not. The donkey hasn't spoken yet. So what happens is Balak is not happy with this response. Balak says, you know what? He's going to send his messengers back to Balaam, and he's going to offer him anything he wants. I will pay you gold. I will pay you anything. You just come, and you speak curses upon these Israel. He sent more princes, more numerable and honorable than before, the text says, and he offered Balaam whatever he wanted to just come speak something bad against the children of Israel so that they don't take over the Moabites. And Balaam says something interesting that John read, so we're not going to read it again, but Balaam says, I cannot go beyond what the word of the Lord had said. But he went back to God anyways to see if his answer had changed. And he says, God, should I go speak curses upon Israel? And God's answer there, he said the only way he could go is if the men come to call you. And we'll get back to that in a second. But I want to notice something first about this story. Because Balak sent his men to Balaam and asked them, hey, come do this thing. And God told Balaam no. But Balak wasn't satisfied with the answer. And so he sent more people back and said, I'm going to give you more riches. I'm going to give you more. Whatever you want, I'm going to give it to you, Balaam. If you just come and if you just speak curses upon these people. Now Balaam's interest has peaked a little bit. He says, well, this sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I can get riches. I can get famous. I can get whatever I want. Let me go ask God again and see what God says. Here's what we need to understand before we continue on with the story. And we need to understand this in our own lives as well. Is Satan will not stop attacking us. Balaam told the princes of Moab no from the very beginning. God told them no from the very beginning. Now, did Satan, in this case, Balak, say, well, okay, thanks for asking. Good luck. You know, we'll go find a new prophet. No. Balak sent more men. Balak sent more goods, more riches, trying to get Balaam on his side. You know, we need to understand that Satan's going to attack us when we least expect it. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 talks about, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about you like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Think about Satan for a second. Prowling around like a lion, ready to attack, pounce on its prey. Sometimes a lion in the wild will be so quiet and so sneaky that it can get just a few feet away from its prey before it realizes it's even in danger. And sometimes that's exactly what we let temptations do. We let temptations get so close, and they just creep slower and slower towards us until they are so close, escape is impossible. And we see that here with Balak and Balaam, where Balak wasn't happy with the answer, so he sends more people. He sends his people a second time, and that's what Satan does to us. When we say no to sin, Satan doesn't say, okay, well, I tried and I couldn't get him to commit the sin, so we'll try again later. He says, well, I'm going to try again now. I'm going to try again harder. And it's going to be when we least expect it. And Satan will attack us at our lowest and weakest points. Satan doesn't care if you're having a bad day. Satan doesn't care if you've said no to sin. Satan doesn't care how you're feeling, if you're sick, if you're tired. Satan will attack you and attack you and attack you, and we need to be ready for that. You know, war used to be called a gentleman's war. War used to be fought during the day. And when it started to get dark, guess what? The two sides would separate, collect their wounded, collect their dead, go back, get a good meal, get a good night's sleep, and then they were right back at it again in the morning. But you know what people found out? People found out over time, if we attack at night, if we attack when they least expect it, we can have the upper hand. Do you think Satan's out to fight a gentleman's war? Do we think Satan's out there to say, you know what, I'm going to give them a little break. I'm going to give these people, these Christians, a little break and let them kind of regroup a little bit before I come back. No, Satan's there. He's going to attack at night. He's going to attack when you least expect it. He's going to attack us when we're at our weakest, and we need to be ready so that we can stop the fiery darts of the evil one, as Ephesians 6, verse 16 tells us. And sometimes we feel like we have a target on our forehead that Satan just won't stop. Do you think Balaam felt like that? Where the king is just sending more people and more riches and more goods, trying to get Balaam to come and speak against the children of Israel. And we also need to understand that just because we say no once doesn't give us immunity from sin. Saying no to sin 1,000 times is great, but don't think that just because the previous 1,000 times were easy that time number 1,001 is going to be the same. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, it says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. When Satan is getting ready to attack, or when Satan has attacked and we think that, well, I've said no to drinking, or I've said no to this sin, or whatever it is, this many times, that's easy for me. Watch out. Because Satan will attack when we least expect it. Great men, gospel preachers, fathers, mothers, husbands, wives, politicians, Bible class teachers, school teachers, athletes, the untouchable men and women of society have all said yes to sin once in their lives. They've all given in to what Satan is trying to do. And what we're going to see here in just a minute is Balaam is going to do the same exact thing. Because he wasn't ready to stop Satan when Satan came knocking. Balaam was more interested in becoming rich and famous than doing what God wanted him to do. In Matthew 7 and verse 13, it says there, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Which way are you taking? Which way are we taking as Christians today? Are we taking the narrow way? Or are we taking the broad way, going along with what everyone else is doing because Satan has finally taken his toll on us? But let's pick back up with our story, because Satan has attacked Balaam, and he sent Balak back, and again, and finally, God tells him, and this is where we left off, God tells him in verse 20, if the men come to you and call you, rise and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you, that you shall do. And that's where we left off. So Balaam has been given strict instructions. If the men come to you and call you, you can go to Balaam, the king. In verse 21, let's start reading there. In verse 21, it says, so Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. Then God's anger was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in the narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in the narrow place where there was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw that the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? And Balaam said to the donkey, because you have abused me, I wish there were a sword in my hand, for I would kill you. So the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you? And he said, no. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. The angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would have killed you by now and let her live. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back. Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, that you shall speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Now this is a very interesting story here in the middle of this book. You kind of have the priest story where Balak, the king, is trying to get Balaam to come and speak curses on the children of Israel. And where we left off in verse 20, God says, if the men come and call you, you can go. But notice what happens in verse 21. Did anyone come and call Balaam? No. Did anyone come and say, Balaam, are you going to come or not? No. It says that he woke up in the morning, he saddled his donkey, and he went with the princes of Moab. Balaam did exactly what God didn't want him to do. He didn't listen to God. And some of us might sit here and say, well, is it really that bad? God told him he could go, right? God said, yeah, you can go. But there was a condition. If the men come and get you, no one came and got him. Balaam was so interested in the money and the fame and the wealth. He was so excited. All he heard was, you can go. And he went and saddled up his donkey and he went on his way. And he was going to go get rich and he was going to go get famous, right? Well, God's about to teach him a lesson. On the way, the angel of the Lord stands in front of the donkey with the sword out. The donkey sees this and tries to go around, tries to go off the side of the road. And Balaam gets so angry that he smacks or he beats his donkey to get back on the road. And so the angel of the Lord goes up a little farther, and he's standing in between two walls, so there's nowhere the donkey can go. And when the angel of the Lord is standing there with the sword ready, the donkey tries to move to the side and crushes Balaam's leg, and he gets so mad at the donkey, he just strikes him again to make him or make the donkey keep going straight. Well, a third time, the angel of the Lord is sitting there, and he's ready to strike Balaam as soon as he approaches, and the donkey sees this, and there's nowhere for the donkey to go, so she just lays right on down. And Balaam gets so mad that he smacks the donkey again. And then something extraordinary happens. Balaam has a conversation with an animal. And then finally the Lord opens Balaam's eyes so he can see the angel of the Lord. The angel says, if it wasn't for this donkey here, I would have killed you. Three times she has saved your life, and three times you have beat your donkey. We need to understand a couple things, and I think we can learn a few things from this lesson here. We need to understand that our personal agendas won't get us very far in this life. We all love to be in charge of our own lives. We all have packs and busy planners and schedules. We all have pocket planners, cell phones, calendar apps, computer agendas, and you can go down the list. We all like to plan our future and jam-pack our days with fun stuff and fun things that we can do, or we all like to tell ourselves that in 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, this is where we're going to be and this is what's going to happen. But let's be honest with ourselves. There's only so much that you and I can control. There's only so much that you and I are capable of doing here in this world. And there are times where, quite frankly, we just need to stop and slow down and smell the roses. I think sometimes God is trying to tell us something or tell us to do something or to go somewhere, and we are too busy with our own personal agendas and our own personal lives to just stop and notice what God has planned for us. There are times where we may want to give in to what Satan wants, and it might just be easier to go to do what Satan wants or to give in to the sin. Just like Balaam, it was easier, it was better for him because he was promised riches and fame if he were to go to the king. He let his own personal agenda cloud what God wanted him to do. And if that's how we're living our lives, we won't get very far spiritually. Our wants and our desires can cloud our thinking sometimes. In verses 18 and 19, that's exactly what we see when we notice what Balaam did. In verse 18 of Numbers 22, Balaam answered and said to the servant of Balak, though Balak were to give me this house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord, my God, to do less or more. Now therefore, please, you also stay here tonight that I may know what the Lord will say to me. You know, this is interesting because the Lord had already told Balaam exactly what he wanted him to do. He said, don't go. Right? Satan attacked again. And Satan attacked when he least expected it. And Satan attacked with gold and with riches and with fame. And Balaam does something interesting. He says, "Now I told you already. I told you the first time you guys were here, I cannot go against what God wants me to do. But," that's the problem. He said, "But, why don't you stay here and let me ask God one more time?" Now, when I was growing up, if I asked my parents for a cookie after dinner and they told me no, guess what the answer was going to be a second time? It was probably still going to be no 15 minutes later. It's just like that classic scene when you have kids in a car. Are we there yet? No. 2 seconds later, are we there yet? No. Are we there yet? No. What did Balaam expect? Would God change his mind all of a sudden? But no, he said, God told me no, and I told you God told me no the first time, but let me go ask him again, and I'll see, because now you're bringing gold. You're bringing some things I really like. So let me make sure that God really meant what he said. See, what happened is Balaam let his own wants and his own desires cloud his thinking or cloud his judgment. Balaam lets his greed and his wants for riches get him into trouble. He should have stopped at verse 18 there. I can do no more or no less than what God wants me to do. That's where he should have stopped. He had the right answer, but he continued on. The battle of indifference took over. And what that means is he started saying, "Well, I know what God wants me to do, but this seems really good over here." How many of us have ever done that with sin before? I know that this is what God wants me to do, but this temptation is really eating away. This is what God expects of me. This is what I want to do. And too often, we do what we want to do. And that's exactly what was Balaam's problem. That when God said, "You can go if they come and get you," all he heard was, "I can go." We need to sometimes understand that God will send help when we least expect it. That if we're in this battle of indifference, if we're sitting there in life and we're contemplating, do I do what God wants me to do or do I do what I want to do? This seems more interesting, but I know this is what God wants me to do. Sometimes God will send help when we least expect it. There's a story, and I've told this story here before, of a man sitting on a roof. And a flood starts coming. And so that's why he goes up to his roof to get away from the waters, and he's waiting to be rescued. And so he prays to God. He says, "God, please send help." Before too long, a little man in a rowboat starts rowing by his house. He says, "Hey, do you need to come down here?" He says, no, God's gonna take care of me. Don't worry. So some time goes by. The waters start raising up even more. And soon, some rescue workers in a little motorboat, "Do you need some help? Let's get you down here. Let's get you in." He says, "No, I prayed to God. God's gonna help me. You just go on. There's other, Finally, there's just a little circle that he can stand on his roof, and the water's about to fully engulf his house, and in comes a helicopter. They drop a ladder, and he waves them off. He says, "I prayed to God. God's gonna help me. Don't worry." And eventually he drowns. I wonder how many of us are just waiting for God to help us, waiting for God to save us, and yet we haven't noticed the signs in our life that God has been trying over and over and over again, and we just need to open our eyes and see that God is there for us. God sent us His Son, Jesus, to save us. And if we're looking at all the signs in the world, and we feel like we're sinking in the water, we feel like the flood is just keeps coming up and up and up, and there's nothing I can do, it's time to stop and just listen to what God is trying to tell us. And God has sent us help. In Balaam's example, God was sending a donkey to try to save him and stop him. Nothing else could get through to Balaam. He obviously didn't listen to what God wanted him to do, so he sent a donkey. The interesting part of all that is that Balaam talked back to the donkey and didn't realize what God was trying to do. To me, that's just incredible. That our judgment can be so clouded sometimes that this man was able to talk to his pet that he's had for years that has never talked to him before, and he didn't think it was strange at all. Have you ever thought about that? That the donkey's mouth was open and said, "Why are you beating me? My first reaction would have been, why are you speaking? But instead, what happened is Balaam talks back. Balaam said, because you have abused me. As if you ask me a question, I'll give you an answer. I don't care that you're an animal. I'm just going to answer your question. His judgment, his vision had become so clouded from his personal wants and desires. He wanted to go because he was promised gold and riches. That he wasn't taking the time to notice that God was trying to speak to him. He wasn't taking the time to notice that God was reaching out to him, trying to help him. Are we looking for the help that God has sent? Are we looking for the help that God has sent our way? Or have we become so blind that we can't see God reaching out to us? 1 Peter 5:8, we looked at that at the very beginning, but it says we must be sober, we must be vigilant, which means we are constantly looking out for what Satan is throwing our way. We are constantly looking for God's help. We are looking out, and God has sent us help. We see in Ephesians 6, verse 6. It says, how do you fight the devil? You want to put on the armor of God. I think it's so interesting that Balaam didn't seem bothered by the fact that he was talking straight to a donkey. I think it's because he knew that he had done wrong. I think it's because he knew that he was acting contrary to what God wanted him to do, and so he was acting as if it was totally normal to be talking to an animal. Have we ever done that in our lives? We've committed sin, we know we've done something wrong, and we just go along with our lives like everything is still the same. We just go along doing what we would normally do because we know we've done wrong and we don't want anyone else to know it. We know we've done wrong, so we're going to act like the wrong in our lives is just something that happens all the time, and it's normal in our lives. That's what I think Balaam was doing here. That he knew he was contrary to what God wanted him to do. And so he was going to pretend like everything was just A-okay and talk to his donkey. And it's funny how when we know we're guilty of sin, we seem to do the very same thing. We pretend like everything's perfect. We don't look for help because we're too selfish to accept it, and we don't want anyone to know what we're doing. God was trying to tell Balaam something that day. He was trying to tell him, you're not following what I told you to do, Balaam. And because of that, you deserve to die. You know, we read that the wages of sin is death. That when we don't do what God wants us to do, we deserve to die. I wonder if we're going to have more sense than Balaam to listen to what God is trying to tell us. And you know, I relate Jesus to that donkey. God sent someone to give us a message. God sent that donkey that day to send Balaam a message, but Balaam didn't want to listen. God sent Jesus to this earth to give this world a lesson and give this world a message. Are we listening? Have you listened to the message that Jesus wanted to teach? You know, we learn more from the donkey than Balaam did. Or I think we learn more from the donkey than we did Balaam in this circumstance. The donkey saw God. The donkey was able to look down the road and see God standing there, ready to strike. Balaam couldn't. The donkey feared God. The donkey knew to get out of the way. The donkey knew to lay down and stop. Don't get closer to God. Balaam didn't. The donkey tried to be loyal to his master. Yes, the master beat him three times and he said, okay, I'm going to keep going, but I'm trying to help you, master. But Balaam didn't see what was standing in his way. I think it's interesting here that a donkey had more sense than a man. A donkey was able to see God and fear God and try to be loyal to his master when Balaam, the human being, the person with a brain that can actually think, couldn't see what God wanted him to do. He didn't fear God enough to follow his commandments and he wasn't being loyal to his master. The question I want to ask us today is, do we have as much sense of a donkey? I hope we do. Then that tells me one thing. That you better fear God and keep His commandments. If we have as much, and I hope we have more sense than the donkey has, You are capable of seeing God in your lives. You just have to open your eyes and look. You are capable of fearing God, and you are capable of being loyal to your master who is up in heaven. Don't live this world as a live in this world as a slave to sin. Instead, live in this world knowing that you're serving an awesome God. If a donkey can do it, you can do it too. If you're here this morning and you've decided that you've made the decision in your life that you want to give your life to God, you've seen God in your life and you need to give your life to Him through the waters of baptism, you've been living a life of sin, you've been letting your own judgments, your own wants, and your own desires cloud your vision in this life, you need to start living your life for Jesus Christ. And there's an opportunity to do that right now by surrendering yourself and being buried in the waters of baptism so that you can walk in newness of life. Maybe you're here this morning and you've decided, you know, you've been a believing Christian, but you've strayed from the path. You know something else I noticed about that donkey? Is that when it got off path, guess where it got? It got right back on course. It's time for us to get back on course. It's time for us to give our lives to God. It's time for us to start living for Him so that we can be accepted into His home someday. If there's anything we can do for you this morning, come forward as we stand and as we sing.